them don't know. I think they know, man. They don't know.
They know.
The Goyo know. The Goyo know. They know all the things that we have done. And now they're telling everyone. The Goyo know. The Goyo know. They know. Cause the Goyim know.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome. It's time to break free. I will be your host for the hour, David Matthew Rock, coming to you live from the constitutional Cary State of Arizona via the Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own channel, 107.5 FM Greenville, South Carolina, Hal Apino's channel, 87.9 FM Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and many more micro broadcasts and webcasts from around the world. Take the time to check out the number one source for Patriot news on the web at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. If you'd like to contact me via email, I can be reached at DavidMatthewRock@gmail.com. This is a live call-in program. Coming up and share your thoughts and experiences. Unlike the mainstream media, listener participation is appreciated. The call-in number is 641-715-3610. Once connected, you'll be asked for the conference room number, which is 220029 in the pound sign. Hit star 6 to unmute. It is 1:03 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time. It's 92 degrees in Casa Grande, Arizona, sunny with 32% humidity. We are here. We made it. That's right. It's another Oy Vey Friday. And what better way to kick off the weekend than indulging in some political incorrectness and giving the Jewish supremacists the middle finger. Let's have a laugh and maybe learn a thing or two. We will get into it as soon as we return from these messages from our sponsors.
Try to laugh about it, fill their news networks with lies.
I try to laugh about it, hiding the Zog from their eyes, cause goys don't cry. Goys don't cry. I would tell Goyim I hate them, but a victim I can't play. While I scream about the bars of soap, gas chambers, and lampshades, I try to laugh about it, dumb down the goy with fluoride. I try to laugh about it, hiding the hoax from their eyes, cause goys don't cry. Goys don't cry. I would do most anything to get shekels for the yids, while I spray white phosphorus onto Palestinian kids. Donate to APAC, have a mitzvah, go fight in Iraq, to play at the Wailing Wall. We control the media, Hollywood, and the porno biz, keeping the goyim distracted with our bread and circuses. Cause goys don't cry.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
It's time to break free, live on PBFTT, September 8th, 2017. I'm your host, David Matthew Rock. Thank you for joining me again on this Oy Vey Friday. Okay, so we're going to start off with a little bit of comedy. This is some prank phone call comedy. It's coming from a group called the Jerky Boys. I played them last week. One of their characters, a Jewish character, is named Saul Rosenberg. And let's get right into it.
Hello, can I help you?
Yes, I wanted to know if I could speak a bit on an accident that I've had.
Yeah, when?
About 2 weeks ago.
What type of accident?
It was a motorbike.
Who was on the bike, you?
Well, just me, right.
What happened?
I had a sidecar on it, you know those things?
Right.
And I was speeding all over my neighborhood.
Right.
Up and down and speeding all over.
Right.
And I was drinking and I lost control of the bike.
Right.
And I was skidded off and slammed a curb in a pole and into some people.
Right.
And, nobody's hurt extremely bad, but a few breaks and things.
So what are you looking to do?
I want to look for some consultation, what I should do here.
For what?
Because they probably have lawsuits against me.
I would expect so, yeah.
Right. I had to give my insurance papers, and I didn't have a license.
Did you have insurance?
Yeah, but it was through a friend.
But will you be covered?
I don't know.
Well, the insurance company will appoint a lawyer for you if you get sued. But when you get sued, you may be, I don't know what your policy is. When you get sued above your policy, if you have a policy, then you're going to have to contact a lawyer.
Right.
I don't handle cases like that.
Right. But is it possible in any way then to sue you people?
Sue who?
You. I'm asking you for help.
Sue who? Me?
Yes.
Why you want to sue me?
Well, I'm trying to explain. I had a terrible accident.
What's that got to do with me?
Well, I'm asking you for help, and maybe I could sue for punitive damages that you're giving me.
I'm giving you?
Yes.
Me?
Yes.
What'd I do to you?
Well, punitive damages here.
I'm a lawyer. What did I do to you?
The sidecar smashed into a pole and everything. I'm trying to explain this to you.
What's that? Well, you want to sue me?
Well, why not?
Me?
Sue everybody.
Sir, I can't help you.
Hello?
Yes?
The people that you work with and handle, I probably will sue them too because I'm not
who
getting...
Who do I handle? I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I had a terrible accident, sir.
Yo, and who are my clients?
I'm sorry. I'm all upset about this. I'm sorry. You can't help me then?
No.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Oy vey. Oy vey.
Oy gewalt. Again, that was the Jerky Boys character, Saul Rosenberg. So I got a few more funny skits from them I'll probably be playing in the future. All right, so I have a bunch of articles lined up. Some of them are pretty interesting, but if at any time any callers want to come up and change directions, interrupt me, you know, bring anything up, feel free. Okay, so the first one we got is coming from the Jerusalem Post. It's posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com, and the title is A Jewish Dreamer Fears for His Own Future But Refuses to Back Down. Elias Rosenfeld came with his family from Venezuela when he was 6 years old. At 15, Elias Rosenfeld became a dreamer. At the time, the Venezuela native was attending Dr. Michael M. Kropp Senior High School in Miami, where he had lived since he was 6 years old, when his Jewish family moved to South Florida from Caracas. His mother was a media executive, and they traveled to the United States on an L-1 visa, which allowed specialized managerial employees to work for the U.S. office of a parent company. But tragedy struck home when Rosenfeld was in fifth grade. His mother was diagnosed with kidney cancer. She died 2 years later. In high school, Rosenfeld applied for a driver's permit only to find out that he lacked the required legal papers. He discovered that his mother's death voided her visa. He and his older sister were undocumented. It was an embarrassing moment for me, Rosenfeld recalled more than 5 years later. Within 5 months, in June 2012, President Barack Obama signed an executive order, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, granting temporary, renewable legal status to young, unauthorized immigrants who had been brought to America by their parents as children. Known as DACA, the order opened up a world of opportunities for some 800,000 young people who were now able to apply for driver's licenses, temporary work permits in college. Dreamers refers to a bipartisan bill known as the DREAM Act that would have offered them a path to legal residency. It was the power of one order that can so directly change one's life, Rosenfeld said. That launched me. I became an advocate. And who knows if this story is even true or not. We know how the Jewish supremacists had their fingers in the open border policy and the multiculturalism policy and the refugee crisis. Yet, at the same time, they're not allowing a single soul into Israel. Let's continue. Okay, he launched United Student Immigrants, a nonprofit to assist undocumented students that has been credited with raising tens of thousands of dollars for help with scholarships and applications. Rosenfeld, now a 20-year-old sophomore at Brandeis University on a full scholarship, spoke with JTA at a rally Tuesday outside of this city's Faneuil Hall just hours after President Donald Trump and Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced they would rescind DACA, which is not exactly true. They put it in the hands of the Congress and deferred it 6 months. So let's be honest, Jerusalem Post, and not try to spin it. The president gave Congress a 6 month window to preserve the program through legislation. So I guess they are admitting it. Put insert foot into mouth. There we go. The Boston protest was organized by the Massachusetts Immigrant and Refugee Advocacy Coalition, where Rosenfeld is an intern. So yeah, the Massachusetts Immigrant and Refugee Advocacy Coalition. He shared his story with several hundred people at the quickly organized rally. He explained that DACA enabled him to drive, buy his first car, and apply for internships, jobs, and scholarships. Well, I tell you what, Mr. Rosenfeld, why don't you just go ahead and do your Aliyah to Israel and go over there with your best buddies over there. They're begging the Jewish people from around the world to come to Israel and live there. So it sounds like if you were to do that, you would get all the scholarships and everything that you need, and you'd be completely taken care of. You get to join the IDF for a little while, and then maybe go to college a few more times and become a general. Why not? Why do you got to come over here and try to advocate for more people to cross over the border and more of this illegal invasion? Go do your Aliyah to Israel and be gone already. Problem solved. You already got a community that will welcome you with open arms. Today's news was cruel and devastating. Now is not the time of despair. However, why is it cruel and devastating? They just put it off for 6 months. It's not like they canned it and they're coming after you with ICE or anything. You got 6 months to prepare. So how devastating is that? You know, if your enemy, so to speak, which I don't think Donald Trump is your enemy in any way, but if he was and he gave you 6 months to prepare, is it really devastating? Ugh. Okay, now is the time for despair, however, but to put our energy towards effective action, he said, urging the crowd to work for protective legislation at the federal and state levels, which is something that we see going on every day. Pretty much we can bring up an article showing you a state, county, city, or some form of government putting out some sort of legislation in favor of illegal invasion, you know, a.k.a. sanctuary cities and whatever. There are some 8,000 DACA residents in Massachusetts. Several Jewish communal leaders attending the rally, including Jeremy Burton, executive director of the Jewish Community Relations Council of Greater Boston, and Jerry Rubin, president of Jewish Vocational Services, representatives from New England Jewish Labor Committee, which helped spread the word of the rally, held signs in the crowd. Another dreamer, Felipe Zambrolini, who came to the U.S. from Brazil when he was 12 and now works as a career coach at Jewish Vocational Service, also spoke. And who, like I said before, who knows if any of these stories are legitimate? I would not trust the Jewish supremacists who have an invested interest in multiculturalism. You know, if they needed to create a couple leaders and say they were from Brazil and Venezuela and put some shekels in their pockets and give them full scholarships and hook them up and get them at the head of all these committees so they can steer them in the right direction, none of that would surprise me. You know, they're that low down and dirty. You know, they'll freaking, if they consider you their enemy, after they kill you, they'll make sure that nobody can ever live in your house again. They'll blow it up. So that's how vengeful these people are. "We're going to mourn today," Zambrolini, 28, told the assembly. Rosenfeld said that Trump's administration decision was disturbing and unsettling. "There's a high level of fear and anxiety in DACA communities," he told JTA. Rosenfeld recalls too well the sting and uncertainty of being undocumented. "Like I said, get on a plane, go do your Aliyah to Israel. They'll welcome you with open arms. You get to become a member of the IDF, and you get to use Palestinian children as human shields, and you get to kill some Palestinians for funsies. So you already have a community that will completely welcome you. I'm sure they'll give you all the documents you need, and you'll be accepted with open arms. We definitely don't need you over here advocating for an illegal invasion." Okay, we continue. It means you can't do everything your peers and your friends are doing. You feel American, but you're suffering these consequences from choices you didn't make, he said. Well, boo-hoo-hoo. Not everybody gets a perfect lot in life, you know? Some people are born into absolute poverty in the United States to the point where there are goldfish being treated better than human beings. So let's get real here. But he also sounded a note of optimism, pointing out that Trump called on Congress to act. We hope Congress, well, not only has he called on Congress to act, he's also quoted as saying that the Dreamers have nothing to worry about, and that he promised Nancy Pelosi that the Dream Act would not be discarded. Something to that effect. You can validate that for yourself. Don't quote me. Okay. We hope Congress follows their president's word now and does the job of passing one of the many pieces of legislation before them, Rosenfeld said. He readily admits to feeling scared and anxious, but I'm also feeling empowered and motivated from seeing the outpouring of support locally and across the country, he said. Yeah, when your Jewish supremacist masters have all sorts of shekels to buy out all our politicians, and we all make sure that they sign up to AIPAC, and we probably have all of them blackmailed, of course they're all going to support what you're doing. They're supremacists. They won't let a single refugee into their own country. That makes them absolute hypocrites. To DACA opponents, including Jewish supporters of Trump, Rosenfeld asked them to take a look at the facts and the stories of people like himself. You know, I don't really care what the facts and the stories are. Get out. Go to Israel. They'll accept you with open arms. I don't think it aligns with our values, the Jewish values, and the Jewish community. Bullshit, okay? It absolutely is with Jewish values in the Jewish community, because you will not let a single Syrian soul, the country that borders you to the north, Israel, into your country. Not a single human soul from Syria, a refugee, into your country. So if you're going to say ending DACA is not in line with Jewish values in the Jewish community, well, guess what? I'm going to call
bullshit
on that. And I'm pretty sure, oh God, now I'm drawing a blank. Yeah, it doesn't matter. All right, let's continue. Growing up, his family attended synagogues often and celebrated Shabbat and Jewish holidays. Okay, you know what? I think I have enough articles that we don't need to get any deeper into this, but there you go. We got Israelis shilling for the whole illegal invasion, claiming that they are DACA recipients, you know, from Brazil and Venezuela. This next article is posted at From the Trenches, worldreport.com for discussion. It's coming from Arutz Shiva 7, which their website is IsraeliInternationalNews.com, and that's just what we'll call them from now on. The title of this article is ISIS Plots to Poison Food in U.S. UK Supermarkets. So, okay, so there's another reason to DIY and start growing your own food. You know, anybody who listens to our network probably has a good idea that ISIS is Israel. You know, it is the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service, or so it has been nicknamed. So if they're putting out an article like this, you know, it could just be fear-mongering, but there might also be a chance that they actually do it. I remember there was that whole thing with the aspirin going on in the 90s that freaked everybody out. Could have been something other than aspirin. There was some sort of narcotic that people were poisoning. Let's get into this article. Islamic terror group tested cyanide-based poison on Iraq soldiers preparing to target Western supermarkets. And I don't really know why, because if you look at what we're doing in Syria, we're assisting the forces that are fighting Assad. So I don't really know why ISIS would have such a beef with us. And if they really did have such a beef, well, you know what? The border is pretty much wide open. So there's absolutely no reason that you can't get here and start attacking actual infrastructure in a coordinated manner without even using the internet to coordinate it. Okay? You could, just with simple code, you could position yourself in four corners of the United States and hit some major infrastructure and put us into a serious event if you wanted to, but you don't. You're just biting at us from the corners, the same way the U.S. government does. You can't come at us head on, so you just nip at our heels. So you know what? I think it's pretty damn obvious that ISIS is not some sort of Islamic terror faction. It's something that is being funded by the Israelis and funded and tolerated by the U.S. government to perpetuate the boogeyman that was once bin Laden and is now crossing over from Al-Qaeda to ISIS. And let's get into this bullshit article. Following a wave of ramming attacks across Europe, you know what? I'm going to call
bullshit
on those ramming attacks. And I remember what I was trying to think of before. Howard Beale. When you hear that bullshit, that's coming from Howard Beale from the network. I actually clipped it from the movie.
Bullshit.
Okay, so following a wave of bullshit ramming attacks across Europe, as well as more conventional terror attacks, including stabbing, shootings, and bombings, the ISIS terror organization is preparing for a silent terror wave against American and British consumers. While recent attacks in continental Europe have drawn front page coverage around the globe, including a pair of attacks in Spain last month, which left 16 civilians dead, ISIS terrorists have been quietly laying the groundwork for a far less bombastic but potentially deadly plot against the U.S. and U.K. Like I said, if the ISIS was really interested in doing some damage, they'd be hitting key infrastructure. They'd be poisoning water. They'd be cutting fiber optic cables. They'd be hitting natural gas lines. They'd be attacking government infrastructure, mowing a few people, some spectators at an event over with a van is pretty idiotic, okay? That only works if you're trying to scare people. Okay, and the only people that really have an invested interest in scaring the population are the governments governing over those populations. You know, if ISIS really was fighting a war with the West, they would be hitting key infrastructure, just like I mentioned before. And anybody who knows anything about military tactics would think the same way. And you can't tell me that if ISIS is a legitimate group that's coordinating across the planet, that they have no clue about military tactics. And they just do these BS, ineffective terror ops that do nothing to actually destroy their enemy. If anything, they're actually creating more of a problem for ISIS because they're strengthening the resolve of the governing bodies of the nations that they are attacking, yet they are doing no actual damage to the governing bodies of the nations they are attacking. So how can you not call it BS on logic alone? Even if you've never seen any of the staged terror attack crap going on, even if all you ever read was the crap out of the mainstream media, how can you not have enough logic and brains to kind of put two and two together and say, wait a minute, they're not attacking any infrastructure that matters, they're not attacking us often enough to really make a difference, and every time they attack us, all it ever does is terrorize the populace and strengthen the resolve of the government, thus making it more difficult for them to attack us the next time. So this is stupid. Anybody who believes in this ISIS crap is stupid. If you think it's a legitimate terror organization, they're either retarded or you're retarded for believing that they're a legitimate terror organization. Take your pick. Okay, where the heck did I leave off? I kind of went off into a tangent. Security experts have uncovered evidence Islamic State terrorists are plotting to poison food in supermarkets across the U.S. and Britain, according to a report by Site Intelligence Group and American Terrorism Monitor. According to Site, ISIS has been instructing members in the West to inject a cyanide-based mixture into foods being sold at supermarkets. Since Iraqi security forces recaptured Mosul from ISIS in July, additional evidence of a terror plot targeting Western food suppliers was found, the Italian ANSA news outlet reported. Evidence of poison food tests were found in Mosul with Iraqi prisoners used as human guinea pigs, the Daily Mail reported, which the recent calls for poisoning supermarket supplies in the West. While the recent calls for poisoning supermarket supplies in the West is not the first of its kind, it appears to be coordinated large-scale effort involving poison. 2016 In 2016, a 22-year-old man who claimed allegiance to ISIS was charged with lacing cocaine with pesticides, then distributing the laced drugs at nightclubs in the San Francisco Bay Area, ABC reported. And that's it for the article. We've reached our bottom of the hour break. You're listening to It's Time to Break Free, live on PBFTT. It's Oy Vey Friday. Stay with us. There we go.
All right, everybody, let's show them how we do it here in Tucson, Arizona. Please welcome, all the way from Kazakhstan, they are Barot and his cowboy Astana band. Give them a nice round of hoot and holler and holler.
This is a song called the Mogzrovich Domovon. It's been in my country, there is a problem. In my country, there is problem. And that problem is transport. It takes very, very long. Because Kazakhstan is big, throw transport down the well.
Come on!
So my country can be free, so my country can be free. We must make travel easy, then we have a big party. In my country there is problem, and that problem is the Jew. They take everybody's money, they never give it back. Throw the Jew down the well, so my country can be free.
So my country can be free.
You must grab him by his horns, then we have a big party. If you see the Jew coming, you must be careful of his teeth. You must grab him by his money. And I tell you what to do. Everybody, throw the Jew down the well. So my country can be free. You must grab him by his horns. Then we have a big party.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin,
the state of Jefferson.
Jefferson.
It's Time to Break Free is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chilliquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, David Matthew Rock. It is 1:35 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time, and I decided to skip one of the songs to give myself a little more time here. Maybe we'll close with it. Okay, so let's get into this next article. It's titled, Israeli Communications Minister, I Will Shut Down Al Jazeera, period. It's coming from the Jerusalem Post. It's posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion. Okay, let's get right into it. If they want to open their mouths, they can do it at the dentist, said Communications Minister Ayub Kara to the Jerusalem Post about Qatari-funded international news channel Al Jazeera. Communications Minister Ayub Kara vowed on Thursday to halt Qatari-funded international news channel Al Jazeera's local operations despite the obstacles. I will close Al Jazeera, period, no matter what it costs me. Kara, however you say it, told the Jerusalem Post, if they want to open their mouths, they can do it at a dentist. They should stop taking advantage of freedom of expression in Israel. I thought this article was funny because there's kind of a meme with the whole Jewish thing online about shutting it down, got to shut it down. And then here it is right in the article coming from the Jerusalem Post with the communications minister. And he's saying, shut it down. So there you go. You know, some of the stereotypes hold true, I guess. Kara and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu have sought to close the channel in recent weeks, saying the Arabic language change incited violence during the recent Arab rioting around the Temple Mount. According to Kara, Al Jazeera's operations in Israel should be shut down because they cross the line of free speech and are part of terrorism. All the countries in the region say so. And because of our delusions of free speech over security, we are playing into their hands. Freedom of speech is very important so long as it does not violate our security. Security is more important. Without security, we won't have a country left, Kara said. On Thursday, the government press office held a seminar in Jerusalem on freedom of the press. The event featured a panel discussion of the limits of freedom of expression, the dilemma between security and press freedom, in which Al Jazeera Jerusalem bureau chief Walid al-Omari was meant to take part but did not. Netanyahu intervened on Wednesday night, and the GPO posted on its Facebook page the prime minister instructed GPO director Nitzan Chen not to allow Omari to participate. In addition, the GPO wrote that the prime minister instructed us to continue taking legal steps to revoke press cards from Al Jazeera reporters in Israel and close its offices in Israel. Last month, the GPO held a hearing at Al Jazeera for Al Jazeera reporter Elias Karam, citing an interview in which he said that as a journalist, he is part of the Palestinian resistance. However, following the hearing, the GPO decided to let him keep his press card. Kara shrugged off the obstacle, saying, if someone has authority and doesn't use it, it doesn't mean I accept that. So that's enough for that article. We got another one that is in the same realm. It's also coming from the Jerusalem Post. It's titled, Communications Minister Stops Israeli Right-Wing Channels Shutdown. It's posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion. Will Communications Minister Ayub Kara will not just successfully prevent Channel 20 from shutting down, but also change policies to allow the right-wing channel to broadcast news? So this article is kind of interesting. So this same gentleman was talking about shutting down Al Jazeera, and now he's talking about propping up this right-wing Channel 20. But listen to some of the thought lines about what it takes to operate with a press license in Israel. So pay attention to that as I read. Channel 20 will stay on the air, Communications Minister Ayub Kara intervened Thursday night to stop the regulator from shutting it down. Oy vey, shut it down. I thank the cable authority that accepted my stance and allowed Channel 20 to continue to broadcast, Kara said. I will visit the channel on Monday to promote legislation that will allow it to get permanent authorization to broadcast news. Cable and Satellite Authority Chairwoman Dr. Yaphet Ban-Chai-Segev recommended foreclosing on the right-wing station's NIS 4 million guarantees because it violated its license. According to the law, this step has never been taken, comes before shuttering the channel. That's how it's written, folks. Kara, however, spoke out against the move, saying that everyone has freedom of expression, not just the left. We can't just leave left-wing channels open and not the right, he said. There are problems with conditions of the license, and they will be dealt with according to law. We'll make sure that the channels live together in harmony. According to the license, this is where it gets interesting. According to the license, 75% of Channel 20's content is supposed to be, and this is in quotes, heritage, meaning Jewish. The remaining 25% is for current events, including 1 hour of prime time. So apparently, these are the stipulations Channel 20 has to operate under to keep its license. And let's just read it again. According to the license, 75% of the channel's of Channel 20's content is supposed to be heritage, meaning Jewish. The remaining 25% is for current events, including 1 hour of prime time. So they're not even in charge of their own content. Somebody gets to make an arbitrary decision on what heritage or meaning Jewish is as compared to current events. So that's interesting. They got to propagandize you 75% of the time with the Jewish heritage BS, and only 25% of the time can be the current propaganda newswire. Since going on the air in June 2014, Channel 20 has each day dedicated hours to current events reporting and commentary from right-wing position, and featured prominent right-wing pundits like Earl Siegelman and Shimon Ricklin. It has a nightly news show and was the only channel to interview Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on his recent visit to Sochi, Russia, even though its license prohibits it from broadcasting news. Several high-profile right-wing politicians came out against the station's closure, including President Reuven Rivlin, Public Security Minister Gilad Erdan, and Education Minister Natalie Bennett. And that's the end of that article. This next article is titled, Germany Rejects Polish Call for More World War II Reparations. It's coming from IsraeliNationalNews.com and is posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion. Okay, agreement made in 1953 remains binding, German officials say. Germany dismissed on Friday Poland's threat to demand new talks over World War II reparations from Berlin, saying that the issue had already been settled in 1953. Poland made a binding decision in August 1953 to relinquish demands for further war reparations. Government spokesman Stefan Siebert said, adding that in view of Berlin, this issue was therefore settled by both legally and politically. Siebert said that Germany fully recognized its responsibility in World War II while emphasizing that it has also paid considerable reparations for overall war damages to Poland. The 1953 agreement on reparations was signed by Warsaw's communist authorities and renounced further claims against Germany. But Poland's current right-wing government disputes the validity of the post-war deal, saying it was made under the diktat of the Soviet Union. Polish Prime Minister Beate Szydło, said Thursday that she believed her country had the right to demand further reparations from Germany. The position of the Polish government on war reparations will be officially expressed when a political decision is taken, she said in a radio interview. In my opinion, Poland has the right to this, and the Polish state has the right to ask for them. We are ready to go ahead with this procedure. Poland's foreign and interior ministers have estimated potential reparations reaching as high as 1,830,000,000,000 euros. So $1 trillion, 830 billion euros. 6 million Polish citizens, there's that number again, 6 million Polish citizens, including about 3 million of Jewish origin, were killed under the Nazi occupation of 1935 through 45, and Warsaw was virtually razed. And that's the end of that document. Article. This next article, coming from the Jerusalem Post, titled Late Night Stephen Colbert Creates Controversy with Nazi Salute. This is posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion. The comedian was mocking recently departed White House chief strategist Stephen Bannon. Okay, I guess that relates to the photograph they're showing, but not necessarily to the article. In his first show, back after a two-week vacation, popular comedian Stephen Colbert stirred controversy by giving not one, not two, but three Nazi salutes. The sketch was focused on mocking recently departed White House chief strategist Stephen Bannon, who will soon be making his first post-White House appearance in an interview on CBS's 60 Minutes. Colbert showed previews of that interview, including a clip in which Bannon defended President Donald Trump for his comments after the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville.
Zig Oi!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's all a game. They're working it from both sides. Excuse me, it's a big joke. By the way, I was the only guy that came out and tried to defend him. I was the only guy that said he's talking about something, taking it up to a higher level. Bannon is shown saying to 60 Minutes host Charlie Rose. The camera then cuts back to Colbert. Yeah, he's definitely taking it to a higher level. I'd say his support is about up there, right around here. Colbert quips while raising his arm in a Nazi salute. Oh, no. Raising his other arm in the salute, he continues over there, then saluting a third time somewhere up there. Colbert's motioning was meant to invoke the idea of Bannon as a neo-Nazi, like those who marched at the rally in Charlottesville in August. And if you marched as a neo-Nazi in support of Trump, you are an idiot. Trump is the most Jewish supremacist in-line president we have ever had. And apparently you don't read, otherwise you would know better. Just after the controversial rally in which a white supremacist rallier killed a counter-protester, and I'm going to call
bullshit
on that. I don't think anybody died. As he rammed a car into the crowd, Colbert commanded the president's actions. Trump's original condemnation of violence at the rallies puts the blame on all sides. Well, Trump wouldn't even use the word communist, so he's playing softball. A comment which earned him scorn from politicians. Okay, you know what? Let's just get on to the next article. I definitely have enough, so let's keep going. Okay, this one made me chuckle a little bit. It's titled, Money Changer Tells Police, Shoot Him in the Knees. It's coming from IsraeliNationalNews.com, and it's posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. Suspect connected to criminal organization tries to harm his ex-wife's new partner. A 47-year-old Tel Aviv man is suspected of offering tens of thousands of shekels in exchange for harming his ex-wife's new partner. The man owns a currency exchange business and works as a money changer. He is connected to a crime organization in central Israel. An initial police investigation showed that the suspect turned to two people and requested they stab his wife's new partner. He showed them photos of the partner, and the two toured the area around the man's workplace in southern Israel. In August, two undercover policemen spoke to the suspect, pretending to have been sent by the men who were asked to carry out the stabbing. The suspects reiterated his request and promised 20,000 shekels in payment. At a different meeting, the undercover officers asked the suspect if he wants to give it to the man. The suspect responded by mimicking shooting someone's knees. He also said after the deed is done, 250 to 300,000 shekels might be available. Recently, the suspect was brought to court and placed under temporary house arrest for similarly threatening the same man. It is suspected that the suspect attempted to receive compensation for the days he spent under house arrest. When his wife, new partner refused to provide compensation, the suspect attempted to expedite his stabbing plot. An incident will be submitted on Sunday against the suspect and those working with him. And that's the end of that article. Just a short little read. I just found it funny. Okay. So this next article is coming from the Jerusalem Post. It's posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion, titled Jewish Techs Only Survive in Devastated Houston Home. And I think it's funny because of how megalomaniacal the Jewish supremacists are. And, you know, how much they lie. So who knows if this is even a legitimate story. And they're kind of making a mountain out of a molehill. But I thought it kind of comical. All my secular books were destroyed, but the pages of these books are still dry, still usable, and without any mold. New York. About a week after Hurricane Harvey flooded his home, Andran Penn, a Christian resident of Houston, finally returned to his premises only to find total devastation, or so he thought. To his surprise, one thing remained untouched by the water, his library of Jewish texts. Does he have the Talmud and the Kabbalah with a proper translation in that library? I would guess he probably does not. The books, which included interlinear Hebrew and English study texts, as well as Bibles, were found completely dry by Zaka, search and rescue team, which has been participating in cleanup efforts in Texas, serving the Jewish and Christian communities hit hardest by the storm. All my secular books were destroyed, but the pages of these books are still dry, still usable. Yeah, same quote as earlier. Penn got the books in order to better understand the Jewish people, to see cohesion between Jewish and Christian communities. The Zaka team was sent to Penn's house upon the request of Pastor Becky Keenan from the Gulf Meadows Church in Houston. The organization's chairman, Yehuda Meshai Zahav, said he was proud of the volunteers' work. Yeah. You know what? We don't need to get any deeper into that article. They got a gentleman named Tali Lipschitz in it, and that's kind of funny. But, yeah, so anyway, the Jewish books stay dried while the secular tomes are just soaked to the bone and moldy. Okay, so this next article is coming from IsraeliNationalNews.com. It's posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion. It's titled, Trump, There's a Chance of Middle East Peace. President Donald Trump says he believes there is a chance for peace between Israel and the Palestinian Authority. Yeah, he'd be a friggin' miracle worker if he could do that. And being the most Jewish supremacist president out there, I highly doubt that he would do that. And especially because he said the embassy needs to be moved to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is considered to be the international city and not necessarily part of Israel. So why would anybody think that President Donald J. Trump would be the person to usher in the peace between the Israeli forces and the Palestinian Authority? Yeah, okay. U.S. President Donald Trump said on Thursday that he believes there is a chance for a Middle East peace settlement. Haven't we heard this from every president? I think we should have a chance of doing it, he told reporters during a White House news conference with Kuwaiti Imar Sheikh Sabab Al-Madad Al-Sabah. That's a mouthful, according to AFP. Trump acknowledged that previous administrations had come close to, yet never reached, a deal between Israel and Palestinian Arabs, but said, we are going to give it our best. You know, some of the dumbest shit comes out of our current golfer-in-chief's mouth. He really, I mean, I don't know how anybody bit onto the bullshit bait that he was trolling through the water when he was running for presidency. I don't know how any of you people, wishful thinking, I guess, either total moronicity or wishful thinking. Either that or he had something to gain. Like maybe you're one of those contractors that gets the money just to draw up a plan for a wall. I don't know. Trump's senior advisor and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, had visited the region several times as part of the administration's efforts to restart the peace talks between Israel and the Palestinian Authority, PA. Most recently, Kushner visited in late August and held meetings with both Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Palestinian Authority Chairman Mohammed Abbas. While Netanyahu thanked Trump and the delegation led by Kushner for their efforts to pursue peace and stability in the region, Palestinian Authority officials have expressed pessimism that Washington's peace efforts can bear that Washington peace efforts can bear fruit. A point of contention between the U.S. and the PA is the Trump administration's refusal to commit to a two-state solution to resolve the conflict. Yeah, of course. This is all bullshit. Okay, so let's just get to the next article. We only got a few minutes left to go here. All right. This one's, again, coming from IsraeliNationalNews.com, posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion. It's titled, Trump. We'd be upset if Assad uses chemical weapons. Trump says Washington would be extremely upset if Syrian president uses chemical weapons again. And I'll call BS on the usage of chemical weapons.
Bullshit.
I mean, it is possible that some are being used. But, you know, I mean, let's get real here. Does it really matter how you're killing people? I mean, if I do it with a .223 cartridge, or I do it with some sort of a firebomb, or I do it with tank shrapnel, or I do it with bomb or missile shrapnel, what the hell's the difference, really? I mean, war is war, and it's extremely ugly. What is one death? Why would one death matter as opposed to another? I know they got the Geneva Convention and all that stuff, but seriously, what the hell's the damn difference? I mean, most of these conventional weapons are not too humane, you know, unless you're popping somebody in the medulla oblongata or absolutely eviscerating them into nothingness. None of this stuff is humane. Anyway, speaking at a press conference with Kuwaiti Emir Sheikh Sabah, blah, 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 Trump responded to a question about a UN report released this week, alleging that Syrian President Bashar al-Assad government had been used chemical weapons. You know what? I got a more interesting article than this. Let's get into that. It's on the one I was just reading some from, thetrenchesworldreport.com, if you want to check it out for yourself. This next one's coming from the Jerusalem Post. It's also posted at fromthetrenchesworldreport.com. For discussion, is titled Israeli Submarines Affair. Remands of key suspects extended for 5 days. So I'm just going to summarize. There's some sort of a corruption charge going on, some sort of bribery charge going on, and they're calling it Case 3000 within the judicial system in Israel. And it has to do with bribes to the German government to buy submarines. So, you know, God's chosen people, the smartest, best looking, most intelligent, most hardworking, most imaginative, most democratic group of people on the planet, right? Do not know or unable to build submarines themselves, and they go ahead and they buy them from Germany. And the German government, apparently, according to this article, is refusing selling them new submarines because of this incident. And when you read through the article, they discuss, they don't say it directly, but they discuss using these subs in a nuclear fashion as a second strike option in the context of if Israel was destroyed by a nuclear munition, that they would have the ability via their submarines to offer a second strike capability. And this ties directly in line with an article that I was reading that I believe came from the Mail, where we had IAEA workers saying that, yes, Israeli government has about 400,000 nuclear munitions, and they also have something called the Samson option, where if they are attacked and their goals have been stopped, that they will attack all the major countries around the world. So that ties directly in line with this article. And there's a follow-up article that, without the previous article, you wouldn't understand. It's coming from the Jerusalem Post, posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion. It's titled, How the Submarine Probe Can Cause Irreparable Damage to Israeli's Defense Industry. And thinking about it, that's where some of the details I was discussing are coming from. So you're going to need to read both of those articles to get the type of understanding that I'm getting at. And with that said, we've reached the end of the hour. I appreciate all our callers and all our listeners being with us this week. And everybody have a safe and a good weekend out there. Enjoy yourself.